in. And it's a great opportunity to share Christ, to invite people to church. I was talking to Brother Alexander today, and how that sometimes people who would not normally go to church will go to church this time of the year. And it's just a good opportunity. The Lord gives us to it, and we should take advantage of it. It's a good opportunity to share the gospel with children, and I thank the Lord for it, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. Again, I'll say more about it later. As you know, on Sunday mornings, I've been preaching on the cross and plan to do so here in the month of December because that's why he came. And so we focus on that. And again, thank the Lord for the cross of Calvary. I ask you to pray about Sunday morning's message. I know what the Lord's laid on my heart. Been studying this afternoon, and I believe I'm prepared for that. And then Sunday night, I have an important message to share as well that Lord gave me my personal devotions and challenged me with it greatly. And I hope it'd be a blessing there to each and every one of us as well. But tonight we're going to look at this again. Interesting passage of scripture in Matthew chapter number 2. And if you're able to, let's stand as we read our scriptures here in verse number 1. We're going to see a lesson from the wise men tonight. And I know you probably are thinking immediately, yes, preacher, we've heard the sermon. They're wise men because they sought Christ. They worshiped Christ. They shared Christ. Amen. That is a good sermon, but that's not what we're going to preach. We're going to pull a different lesson from the wise men here. If you'll look in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Israel with him, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach. I pray that you would, Lord, give me your words and your words only, please. Lord, I know that, Lord, I asked you earlier today to help me to be clean, right, and holy, Lord, because I desire to be used of you. Lord, I'm sorry where I fail you. And Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to bless tonight as only you can. Lord, teach us from your word. Encourage us as believers tonight. I pray that you would strengthen us and perfect us. And Lord, help us to grow in our grace and knowledge of you. And Father, I love you. And Lord, again, take this message to be a blessing for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen. And please be seated. Now, when we think of the wise men in the story, of course, the Christmas story, we think of the stable. We think of the innkeeper. We think of the shepherds. We think of, obviously, Mary and Joseph. And without a doubt, we always think of the wise men, and they come into the story. And, you know, a lot of times we picture probably and have some wrong viewpoints on the wise men that we'll talk about in just a second. But most scholars, including myself, which I'm not saying I'm a scholar, I'm saying I agree with the scholars, but most scholars believe that these wise men were from the east over towards Persia, and they came in search of the Messiah. Now, history will tell you that the Persians, the Medes and the Persians, that they loved science. They wrote and left us a lot on astronomy and things, and I believe they had that interest in them. But I also believe that there was a prophet of God by the name of Daniel that also taught them a lot as well. And I believe he left them the scriptures and intrigued them with the scriptures that they had, and it's something they continued to study. And I think that's why we have the story of the wise men. Now, if you want to glance at this with me real quick, look back in Daniel chapter number 9. Of course, Daniel was considered one of those types of men when he was there in Babylon. And of course, he, no doubt, had a powerful testimony there in the land. But he also, gave us a lot of prophecy. And in Daniel chapter number 9 and in verse number 24, you'll see some words that he wrote that no doubt, if these wise men are from Persia, they had knowledge of this as well. At Daniel chapter 9, verse number 24, Daniel leaves us these words from the Spirit of God. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war of desolations are determined. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time in this passage, but basically what he wrote there was that just over 400 years from the point in which Jerusalem was commanded to be rebuilt, that the Messiah would come. And, of course, to the year, that's exactly what happened. You study when it was ordered there in Nehemiah chapter 2 that the city be rebuilt, and you add the years, all right? Daniel's prophecy, as all prophecy in God's Word, was perfect. And again, they knew. They were looking for this Messiah. And from studying this, now other passages of Scripture say the same types of things. Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2 says, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse number 17, it says this, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Thus will come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. And so these men, having no doubt been introduced to the scriptures by Daniel, having studied the prophecy, they were looking. All it takes is some study and some math, and they were looking for this. And then something happened. Then as they were in the east, they saw this unusual star that was not there before. And they headed then towards Israel. And of course, they would go to Jerusalem to find the king, because where else would you look for the king in Israel? But there's something that a lot of times we don't consider that I just want to look at tonight, but I hope will be an encouragement to you out of this story. All right? So follow along. Got three main points. Ready? Number one, I want us to consider some misconceptions about the wise men. All right? Give me two, and then I'll talk about the third one, which is important. Number one is the number of the men. All right? The scripture does not anywhere say there were three wise men. All right? We get that from our songs. Not saying there wasn't, because there could have been three. But I'm not saying there are. All I know is there's at least two, because they're wise men, not the wise guy. All right? So there's at least two, and so could have been a whole lot of them. I do not know. We probably get that because they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the fact is, we don't know exactly how many men that there were. We just know that the Bible refers to them as men. Secondly, the timing of their arrival is a misconception. A lot of people, and probably many at home, have little nativity scenes, and there's wise men bowing down. That was just not the case. The wise men did not visit the manger. The Bible's very clear about that. Back in Matthew chapter number 2, when they did visit, the Bible says specifically in verse number 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary. So they didn't come to a stable. They didn't come to the manger scene. All right, and Jesus wasn't a baby. He was a young child. No doubt he was under the age of 2. I'll tell you why in just a second. But he's a young child, and they went into a house. So when they saw him, it would not have been the manger scene. So if that really makes you upset, sorry. That's a fact, all right? But that gives me to my third misleading or misconception about the wise men is this, that they were led by a star. Just isn't true. You're sitting there saying, Whoa, whoa, preacher, right? That's one of the greatest misconceptions here, right? You say, well, we three kings of Orient are followed yonder star, right? I know what the song says, but what does the Bible say? I know what Charlie Brown says, all right? I know what our Christmas cards depict, all right? That they're walking through the desert on their camels and carrying their gifts, and there's a star that they're pointing at and following, all right? But the Bible never says that. You know, matter of fact, watch real close in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 2. It says, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star, where? In the east. All right? And you say, well, they could have followed it the whole way. Well, let's just keep reading. I'll go down to verse number 9. When they had heard the king, they departed and they talked to Herod. And lo, the star which they saw what? In the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they what? Rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, if it had been there the whole time, they wouldn't have walked down and said, yes, the star, right? That wouldn't have happened. But apparently, they saw the star in the east, and then once they got out of this meeting with Herod, they saw the star again. Oh, I at least got your attention, all right? I at least got your attention, all right? And so they weren't led by this star. They were directed, you know, by the scriptures. They saw the star in the east and they knew the direction and where to go. They knew something was, and no doubt numbers came back to them. There'll arise a star out of Judah. No doubt all these things, no doubt came, but they started down this path and they headed there. But at some time, as they were heading out, heading there and from the east, heading towards Israel, that star must have diminished. That star sometime went away. Because when they get out of this meeting with Herod, they see the star and they greatly rejoice. And then they follow the star and it leads them to right where the young child is. See, what is the point of this sermon? Everybody catches. Sometimes God leads us and calls us and maybe to a ministry or calls us into the ministry or shows us who we're supposed to marry or where we're supposed to go to college or what job to have. And I mean, God's is just clear. That's where I'm heading. And then sometimes the star diminishes. Then what do you do? What do you do when the star's not there? And it's nothing new, because I can ask you to consider number two, some other people in the Bible who traveled without a star. Because this is something that recurs many times in the scriptures. All right? Now stay with me on this, all right? This is nothing new at all because, again, consider number one, let's think about Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, we know the story, so we won't go there. In verse number 7, he gets up in front of his family and says, I just had this dream. I had this dream that we were all collecting the wheat and my sheath was there and all of your sheaths bow down to mine. Remember that? And they were like, yeah, all right, kid. And then two verses down in verse number 9, Joseph says, I had another dream, and there's the sun, the moon, and all the stars, and they all bowed down to me. And it made his brothers really mad, right? And obviously this was prophecy, and he was sharing it, that God was showing him in a dream that he would be in a leadership position over all of his family. But then something happened. That didn't happen. And for the next years, his brother sold him into slavery. He's lied about and he's thrown in prison. He sits there in a prison for quite a while and you don't read of one dream. And he's sitting there waiting. Now, was God's promise just as true while he was in the prison as when he had that dream in the fields? Absolutely. But there was a period of time where it didn't seem like what God said was going to happen was happening. But yet it did, and we know it did. And at the end of this story, Joseph looks at his family and says, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. Later on, God fulfilled exactly what he said he would do. I'll give you another example. Remember Abraham, he's standing there at Ur in Genesis in chapter number 12, I believe it is, and he's talking to God, and God says, you know, I am going to make you the father of many nations. Matter of fact, your descendants are going to be like the sand and the seashore and what? Like the stars, right? Count the stars, right? And you can imagine, Abraham, man, how exciting would that be? God says, I will bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and all these great promises. And now you need to follow me and go to this land that I have preserved for you, and I am going to make of thee a great nation. But then in his 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and in his 90s, it didn't happen. And he went a long time without seeing the stars. You with me? He went a long time. But was God promised true? Amen. Absolutely. Did God do what he said he would do? Absolutely. Think of a man named Noah. God told Noah to build a boat because he was going to destroy the earth because of their wickedness. And he was going to do it with a flood. And Noah started building that boat, didn't he? For 120 years, he built a boat. And there was no flood for 120 years. As far as we know, it didn't rain for 120 years. The creek didn't overflow for 120 years. And I venture to say from reading the Bible that there were many people that laughed at him and mocked him and scorned him. So what are you trying to get to, preacher? Can you relate? You ever followed God and maybe taken a ministry and you were excited and, man, pumped up about it? This is going to be great. And now you're exhausted. Now you're not seeing the fruit that you thought you might see. You ever stepped out in an area of faith that you know God led you in? You have no doubt this is what God wants me to do, and now starting to doubt some things? Now you're wondering, God, why aren't you blessing this? Now, if you're listening at all, every one of us have been here. Every one of us have been at times in our life, man, at one time, yes, this is going to be the greatest thing. I mean, I'll just tell you about Travis Burke, all right? When I surrendered to preach, man, I was excited about it. 16 years old, Jacksonville, Florida, I walked the aisle, and I surrendered to preach. I'm not even going to tell you who was preaching at night because you just look bad about me, all right? But I surrendered to preach that night, and I gave the Lord my life and know that he called me to preach, and I was excited about it. I didn't know exactly what God had me to do, but this is going to be the greatest thing ever. I've given my life to God, and I am not about to lie to you and look at you tonight and say there haven't been times in the last 30-plus years that I have said, what am I doing? Because sometimes it gets hard. There's sometimes when people are walking the aisles, people are shouting amen, people are jumping in there and doing ministries, and there's other times when you're just looking around saying, is someone there? Is someone listening? I mean, it's great when the star's there and you're walking out by faith and, man, this is what I'm going to do. Sometimes when the star diminishes, it gets challenging. And again, I'm not saying God's not leading you. You missed it, what I've told you, right? Joseph, God was still with Joseph. God was still with Noah. God was still with Abraham. It's just humanly speaking, sometimes you think, God, I thought you were going to. God, this is not what I thought you were going to do. And we've all been there. And we've all probably struggled at times where one time something was exciting. It's becoming a burden. Maybe some of you young people said, I'm going to take this ministry. God's given it to me. Man, I'm pumped up to take it, man. And now you're just like, do I have to do it again? Because maybe some of the joy is not there. You're not getting out of it what you thought you would get out of it. You know, this can be applied in a whole lot of places. You know, with our marriage. You know, I never, ever in my life will forget the day when my wife was walking down this aisle right there, and I met her and took her by the hand right here, and we stepped and stood basically right where this pulpit is, and we made our vows to each other, and we got married. It's a great and wonderful day. And I remember just thinking, this is going to be the greatest life ever. She can do nothing wrong. She is perfection. And I guarantee she was looking into my eyes saying, this is the man of my dreams. How could anything ever go wrong? And boy, was she in for some surprises, man. There have been hard days in our 21 plus years of marriage. There have been dark days. Sometimes the stars are bright. Sometimes it's dark. I'm sure when Brother Ricky took the youth ministry, this is going to be awesome. Grew up in his church, man, we're going to have 150 kids in his teen class, right? Because that's what I thought when I took it. And there have been wonderful, wonderful days, but there's also hard days. And no matter who you are and what we're talking about tonight, sometimes it's not what you thought it would be. Sometimes the star diminishes. So what do I do, preacher? What do I do when the star disappears? Same thing that the wise men did. Ready? Follow me. This is the message. Number one, remain faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The fact is this, the wise men stayed the course. The star diminished. No doubt in my mind, the star diminished. But they stayed the course. They kept on the path. They went through the valleys. They went over the mountains. They struggled through the deserts. But they kept going. Sometimes when, humanly speaking, we don't maybe even exactly know what we're doing anymore, just remain faithful. I think it was Monday of this week, I believe it was, woke up in the morning, was heading here to church, and it was foggy, and I mean serious fog, and as I was driving, you could not see down the road. So I just did my best. I just made sure I saw the two lines, right, on the side of the road, and I stayed between those two lines. And as I would go, while I couldn't see necessarily what lied too far ahead of me, I just made sure I stayed in the right path. And eventually things opened up. Look at me, church. This is an important lesson for us. Sometimes that's what we have to do in life. Sometimes you just got to stay where you're supposed to be and keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. And God will show himself, I promise. I'm sure there were times in Joseph's life when he thought, what is going on? I am sure and confident there were times in Noah's life when he got tired of the people mocking him. I am sure, I'm positive, that Sarah thought, there's no way I'm having a child. But understand, in all these cases, God allowed these times to make sure everyone saw this fact, that it was God that did this, and it was God that gets the glory in this, and only God can do these things. And as these men were going east, and as these men were heading that direction, or heading west, they kept their eyes, and they kept their path, and they said, we're going to just keep going, and I don't know what God has called you to do, but my friends, whether you see the star tonight, or it's diminished, remain faithful. Don't quit on God. You may be facing an obstacle tonight. Stay faithful. I went out and visited my son this week, and sometimes it's not easy in college. I talked to Lily. I took Jenna out, and we all three of us spent some time together, right? And I tried to encourage him a little bit, because sometimes it gets really difficult. I think Joel's about to go to college. Hey, tell you this, it gets hard, right? And sometimes you're just like, oh, right? But if that's what God called you to do, don't ever quit. Sometimes the star, right now, maybe the star's, this is what I'm supposed to do. And then when the days are rough, you have no money and you're missing home, just stay faithful. Maybe that Sunday school class that you were dreaming of teaching, and now it's becoming hard. If God hasn't moved you, my friend, stay faithful. The burden's really heavy. My spirit's low. Stay faithful. What can we learn from these wise men? They remained faithful. They just kept going. Number two, they relied on God's word. I think the star diminished. Well, why'd they keep going? Because they knew what the scripture said. Now, some of you should be listening, because that should have got more of an amen, all right? They knew what the scripture said. There's times in our life, church, that sometimes things don't make sense. Sometimes the Red Sea parts. Those are exciting times. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes God just sends fire down and does absolutely miracles. Sometimes he doesn't. But we have something far greater than a star to follow. We have the inerrant, infallible, holy Word of God. And sometimes when we know maybe we're heading this right direction, sometimes when things get cloudy, and you're lying if you say they never get cloudy. Yeah. I'm never discouraged. Yeah. That's when we just have to sometimes, and hopefully always, rely on God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The fact is this, sometimes when we're walking our way through life, remain faithful. The star, I don't know if I see it, then just keep trusting his word. Because we have God's word, and you may not know how it's going to turn out, but I promise you this, and everybody catch this, if you follow God's word, things will be right. See, I don't know what I ought to do. Follow God's word. Man, the star, I'm not sure, you know, exactly. Then do what you know you ought to do. If you're here tonight, say, what should I be doing? If you're not saved, you need to be saved tonight. If you've not been scripturally baptized, you need to be scripturally baptized. You need to love God. You need to worship God. You need to love other people. You need to rear your children for the Lord and love your spouse and share the gospel. Do what the Bible tells you to do. Just remain faithful. Rely on his word. And three, trust his plan. God has a purpose in it. Ask Joseph. Was it hard? I guarantee it was. Nothing hurts more than when your family hurt you. I know it's hard. But Joseph, was it worth it? Oh, yeah. Abraham, was it worth it waiting on God? Absolutely. Because only he can get the glory. Noah, are you glad you kept building the boat? We all should say amen there, right? Go ahead and ask the wise men. Are you glad you kept going and heading that direction? When you read the Bible, verse number 11, when they were coming to the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, I can only imagine the joy in that meeting. When they finally saw the one whom the scriptures foretold, they fell on their face and they worshipped him. Are you glad you kept going? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sunday school teacher, keep going. Bus worker, keep going. That nursing home ministry, keep going. Don't quit, Brother Salee. Don't quit, Brother Peterson. Don't quit, Brother Alexander. Don't quit leading the singing, Jordan. Don't quit driving the bus, Brother Doug. Don't quit leading the choir, Brother Chad. Don't quit playing the piano, Miss Lauren. Don't quit teaching the teens, Brother Ricky. Don't quit taking up the offering, Brother Jeff. Don't quit being faithful to church. Don't quit praying. There's a time Don't you love when someone gets saved? Man, they get up and boy, the burden of their sin is gone. Woo! They're so excited! Man, you see them hugging everybody and crying. Why aren't we like that every day of our life? Because sometimes we don't see the star. But he's still just as faithful as he ever was and ever will be. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep preaching. Keep singing. See, it's hard. I understand it. I read a story this week, and I'll close with this. It's a little kid. His name was Danny Wiello. Danny Wiello was born with some serious issues, and he only had one arm. And he was a pretty discouraged kid, and he grew up kind of very discouraged. And so his parents kind of wanted to encourage him, get involved in something around people. So they put him in a judo class. And at first, the guy that's in charge of the judo class, true story, you can look it up, in the judo class kind of looked at him and said, one arm. Now, if you know much about judo, that would be a challenge, right? And but the guy that taught the class, after thinking about it a while, said, all right, and he explained the situation. So he invested a lot in this kid. And he taught him one throw. One throw that you could use one arm and do. And that kid mastered it. This one throw. I mean, every time he went against someone, he beat them all with this one throw because he was so good at it. Finally, the teacher said, I'm going to enter him into a tournament. The parents like, are you sure, right? He said, yeah. So they put him in a tournament. Danny made it to the championship match in this tournament. When the match started, Danny was losing. And he kind of looked up there at his teacher and said, don't quit. And so finally, Danny got an opportunity, and he used that throw. And when he did, he started, and he kept using that throw, and he won the tournament with one arm. That's pretty impressive. Well, they wrote a little story about it in the newspaper. That's why I know about it. They wrote a story about it in the newspaper, and he asked his teacher, said, you know, what made you enter him and with one throw? And the teacher said this. Ready? I wrote it down. There's two reasons. Because number one, I know Danny mastered the one-arm throw. And number two, the only defense to this maneuver requires the other person to grab his other arm. And I'll close the message with this statement. Sometimes God takes something away so the devil can't grab us with it. Sometimes the star's not there, but God knows what he's doing. Trust his word. Remain faithful. And trust his plan. If you don't think it's worth it, I know some wise men who would beg to differ.